of victory. We have 5 o'clock on the dot, but I'd like to just take a few more moments to see if we have who else we have on the call this morning, because this is just a real good day for me. Who else is on the call? If you're just chiming in, give us your name and your number. I mean, your name and where you're calling from.
Gail from Houston.
Good morning, Miss Gail. I tried to call you so you could hear the president's speech last night. Who else do we have on the call? I was trying to call everybody, you all. I was just calling folks. I tried to call.
I was on it.
Wasn't too many people answering. Who else called? I mean, who else is on the call? All righty. Well, you all, I'm sure that Pastor Vanessa has already told you why we are on this call. We are here every Monday through Friday to enhance, enrich, and empower believers as we come together and strengthen us. And I tell you, I thank God for all of your prayers. It's just been, I'm telling you, I've had a super fantastic weekend. Deacon Roberts is doing just absolutely wonderful and resting. We went to the resort this weekend and he rested. He did more work than that I did, playing pool and stuff. I, you know, just couldn't hang too much, but he had a ball. I mean, he had a real ball. So it has been a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I thank God for you all, and thank you for your love, your prayers, and all of the calls that we receive. And at this time, Tiffany, we're going to ask that you come on and open us up with our prayer let's get this party started.
Amen. Pastor PK, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you did answer me last night, okay? This morning.
Amen. Amen. Let us bow and go through the throne of God this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we greet you this marvelous Monday morning, the second day of May 2011. We come, Father God, with humble hearts, Father God, and joyous spirits, Father God, clapping our hands, Father God, up unto you, shouting with the voice of triumph, Father God. For we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your goodness, O God. We thank you that you protected us, Father God, through the night and brought us into a new and marvelous day, Father God. We rejoice in you, Father God. We praise you. We honor you. We bow down before you. We trust you. We believe you, Father God. For you are the Alpha and you are the Omega, Father God. And we put our trust and our hope in you, Father God, for there is none like you, Father God. And we just praise your holy name this morning, Father God, like the dew in the morning, Father God. We ask that you would just rest upon our hearts this morning, O God. Uh-huh. Father God, we thank you so much because you continue to show us that you are still in the miracle-working business, and your miracles have not expired. We thank you, Father God, for every victory, Father God, since we have last come together as a family, Father God. I pray right now for the visionaries of this call, the Master's Morning Call, for Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa, Father God. I pray that you would continue to do a new thing in their lives, oh God. I pray, Father God, that every need will be met right now in the name of Jesus. For truly we are standing on the promises of God, Father God, and it is so because it says it in your word, oh God. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for the Artists International family, for our founders, the Diaz de Leon family, Father God. We pray, Father God, as today is the last day for the closing for the month of April, Father God, I pray that we would close it out in a mighty way, oh God. Father God, for you already said that whatever we ask, it shall be done in your name. So direct us, Father God, and let the numbers come through in the name of Jesus. And I ask right now, Father God, as we clear the highways and byways, Father God, I pray that your message, Father God, will go forth, Father God, and that you would allow the messenger, as she would come this morning, Father God, with the rhema word, Father God, that truly it would not just go in our ears, but that it would permeate into our hearts, our minds, our body, and our souls, and that we would truly realize that we are more than conquerors. To you give we give you, O God, all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And I thank you for the victory. I thank you for what you have shown us, Father God. And I thank you that you let us know that you are still able to do all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
All things in Jesus' name. All things. All things in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for opening us up this morning in prayer. And I tell you, I do thank God. All of us just take a moment to just give God thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. I promise you I'm going to put you right up, that's Vanessa, but yesterday I didn't know that I was on to preach you all. As you all know, I've been discombobulated, but I promise you that I'm still standing, so I had to preach yesterday. And I preached on just two keys of for victory, living a resurrected life, touching the resurrected Christ. And those two keys are prayer and faith. And it still is prayer and faith. And so that just took the place of my announcement. I just wanted to say it because it's still down in my belly. And when you have a sermon in your bed and you know I'm on it, it's just hard to just pass up the goodness of it. Go over in Jeremiah, the whole 29 chapter of Jeremiah. That thing was good. So we're going to ask all of the announcements, you all just turn your TV on and your computer and your back office, and you got the announcements, and we're going to go on. Pastor Vanessa, it is 5:07 time for you to come on right now. Anyway, I don't have anything special to announce because it's been announced in the introduction and the prayer. Pastor Vanessa gave the announcement, and then I gave announcements, and Sister Tiffany gave announcements in her prayer. If you were listening, she gave announcements. So the announcement's been made, and you all, everybody knows Pastor Vanessa, and the fact of it is, if this is your first day on here, you're going to know her. She's from the Big D, and she loves the Lord. That's all you need to know. Come on, Pastor Vanessa, and give us a word.
Praise God. Good morning to our MasterCall family. Thank you so much. It is an awesome, awesome, awesome day in Christ. And we are just excited in Jesus, as we've been saying on this a marvelous Monday. I am so full of expectation, knowing that God is going to do the manifestation of great things in our lives and in our heart. I just finished an awesome week last week in Houston, ministering in a prophetic conference, and I tell you, I got so stirred. And this morning down in Prairie View, and then last night here in my parents' home, just so excited, like many of you all around the country and the world, to hear the news of what God is doing in the land, first natural in 1 Corinthians 15, then spiritual. And I have to be a prophetic for a minute. We had a royal wedding. We had something that millions got up and watched at 4 in the morning and watch a processional, a clearing of the way. And with a birth always comes a death. And I tell you, it was awesome to see the victory and the excitement in the streets last night, not because of just such of the death of one person in Osama bin Laden, but the closure of a very painful time, as God is reminding us of his position. So today I want to talk about, like Dr. PK said, I want to take some more meat off a powerful bone I chewed on all weekend with a message titled Training Kings and Queens to reign in the kingdom. Training. You're a king this morning. You're a queen this morning in Christ. Training kings and queens to reign in the kingdom. And then my subtopic, while you're shouting and happy about royal priesthood, is receiving your training in the wilderness. Mm-hmm, yeah, receiving where that boot camp going to happen in the wilderness. So we're going to come from a text that is very, very familiar to all, and I just want to read it as a quick backdrop as I go into this, and I probably will not finish it all today because I tell you, just so much revelation has been coming to me as I've been studying your training, kings and queens to reign in the kingdom, receiving your training in the wilderness. And if you could go, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and then 11 through 13. And in that 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, verses 1, it starts off, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord." Verse 3, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" For those of you who don't understand that, when a true prophet comes, and especially in the Old Testament times, there was fear in their heart because they knew and clearly understood that that prophet was a mouthpiece of God, and they didn't know if he was coming to speak blessings or coming to speak cursing. So they were asking immediately, "Comest thou peaceably?" Verse 5, "And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to sacrifice." And we all know the story that he started with the oldest son because he just was sure would be one of those in the house. And let's skip down to verse 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he." And our key verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." And remember that end of that verse, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." What I'm going to really talk about today, if I finish it, definitely tomorrow, is understanding positional truth versus experiential truth. Positional truth, meaning a position you and I have in Christ, versus experiential and experience truth. From that verse 13, David received a position in God that he was going to one day be king, but he had to go through some experiences before he became king. And another text for you to write down is 2 Samuel 5, 1 through 5. 2 Samuel 5, 1 through 5. I won't read it, but that's where it confirms all those years later when he did become king. See, as we study Scripture, we learn that God's model of leadership was one of servant leader, to lead by serving others. Jesus' lifestyle model all through the Scriptures is to serve others. As leaders, as kings and queens in our circles of influence, we must be servant leaders and use Jesus as our model at all times. But we're talking about training kings and queens to reign in the kingdom. So let's define some terms so we're all on the same page. What does kingdom mean? Well, kingdom, it is God's rulership, God's universal jurisdiction, again, having influence over a territory. In the Hebrew, it means sovereignty, royal power. Hear me prophetically because we just finished a royal season. Understanding that when you have that position of royalty, that it affords you some privileges, and the governing influence of a kingdom is over its territory. The kingdom and the king and the queen, they control the territory. What does that mean when you control the territory? Well, in those times and even these times, it means you control the mindset. You have an influence on the community, on the neighborhood. And we know in Isaiah 9, in that 6-8 verse, it talked about the government of God rest upon his shoulders and the increase of his government, that when we have a kingdom, God inherently gives us power, control, rulership over. And so what does it mean when we're training to reign in our kingdom? Well, you know, from the beginning of our lives, there's a prophetic destiny. There's a prophetic promise that rests on our lives, a positional truth that God has ordained for our lives to fulfill. What am I saying? I'm saying from the very beginning, before we even walk into it, when we stand at our Alpha and look into our Omega, there's a position already prepared for us. There's a destiny already prepared for us. There's a purpose already prepared for us. But to get there, there's going to be some experiences. When I first began ministering and traveling and preaching and teaching God's prophetic words many years ago, God gave me a message that he had me preach for almost a year wherever I went. And he would give me different scriptural texts, but it was still the same message to the body as a prophet of God. And the message title was From the Prophecy to the Promise, God Teach Me How to Handle the In the Meantime, that in the wilderness time. From connecting the dots, help me walk through my valley of shadow of death. And again, we all start out our Alpha and our Genesis, knowing we're on our way to our Omega, to our God-ordained destiny. But the wilderness, the experiential truth, the in the meantime, is often more challenging and full of more perfecting, and perfecting in the Hebrew means maturing, than we've ever anticipated. So in our text today and in our lives, the journey begins, the what kings and queens must go through to get to the finish line of destiny. Training kings and queens to reign in the kingdom, receiving our training in the wilderness, our positional truth versus our experiential truth. See, when you're in your wilderness, in the experiential truth, the process, remember, the experiential truth must validate positional truth. Let me give you some background, so backdrops of some more scriptural examples so you can really grasp what I'm saying. David was anointed right then as that little ruddy kid that didn't look like, that diamond in the rough, that didn't even appear like, so that he was even forgotten about. He was anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord, that verse 13 said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. See, the wilderness was beginning then, from that day forward. Well, we have another example of this in Scripture. Joseph, when we read Genesis 37, all the way through that 50th chapter, remember his positional truth came when he had the dream and he saw the sheaves representing his brothers bowing down to him, and he didn't always have cognitive understanding of what it meant, but the position was established in heaven and manifesting on earth in his dream that one day he would rule, be the bridge, the deliverer for his people. That positional truth was established back in Genesis 37. Oh, but we went through a lot of experiences, a lot of chapters. We went from the pit thrown in by your brothers to the palace and holy haters of jealous wives, then into a prison, and from the prison finally to the prime minister. Those experiences had to validate the truth of what he was called to be. So back to our text. I want you to get this today because it's important for us to understand our process and for us to reign. We have to be validated through some experiences. We don't need just a good theory. We want some application. Even when I was in school and was an engineer, so knew nothing about, quote, ministry, and was going to get that Master's of Divinity, they made us take practicums every semester where we spent 90 hours out in the field. In other words, a call had already come on my life, a positional truth that I was called to be, was called to walk in. But we had to go through the experiences and get in the trenches, in the highways and the byways, and walk through some wilderness. Well, now the experiential truth of our text and from Samuel, see, when he was anointed, when David was anointed, remember, that's when the wilderness began. And remember, he went into a cave. For some of y'all, there's favor in the cave. Remember the cave. See, David received the debtors, the distressed and the discontented, over 400 men. I call it his 3D ministry, the debtors, the distressed and the discontented. And in other words, the ones that most had counted out as useless and hopeless. But the 3D had the depth, the determination, and the drive, and they would receive from their leader, David, and it would turn their lives around. We're talking about training kings and queens to reign in the kingdom, receiving your training in the wilderness with your positional truth as you walk forward into your experiential. See, when we receive our positional truth today and the journey began, David was immediately hit with this, and then he had to go through that, and then he was hit with this again and had to suffer through that. See, some of y'all know what I'm talking about because you've been hit with this, and before you can get back on your feet, then that happened, and then before you could say, okay, I'm going to put that behind me and I'm calling my testimony for my test, then something else hit you, and you were being overcome and challenged all the time with your this and that experiences that were causing it, forcing you to grow. See, with the experiential truth, you have to learn how to respond correctly. What are you saying this morning, Pastor? Well, how do you respond when you find yourself in a cave? See, the caves of our lives test our character, test our integrity, and we know character is based in that Galatians 5:22-23 with the fruit of the Spirit. See, the experiential process, the in the meantime, the wilderness, the pressing, the pressure, for purpose, causes us to learn more about ourselves. And how do we respond? How do you see the glass half empty or half full in your life? See, even on a new job, there's a 90-day probation period. That's your experiential period. See, you've been given the job, you got the title, but they put you on a probation. You go through some experiences before you're fully anointed and appointed. The experiential truths have to validate. And they often come with pain, with adversity, with agony, and with problems, but that's what validates us. It's the adversity that validates us. I've often in my teaching using the butterfly, the caterpillar struggling in the cocoon before it becomes a butterfly. All of us, even the seed, when it's put into the ground, it has to first die. You and I have to die to our desires, our goals, our dreams, and really pray that simple prayer in Matthew 6 and mean it. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. We get that possessive pronoun right, and we say, God, have your way, I surrender all. And then that's when our process of perfecting comes, and it's not going to do anything but help us understand who we are and see what our real strengths are, and have to look in the mirror and face our real weaknesses. See, if we don't pass some of those tests in that wilderness and our character doesn't get perfected, it can cause a demotion from our promotion from our position God has given us. And we have to understand that when you try to skip that process, see, then you're not validated. You know how you feel about folks who took a shortcut to a position and they got it because they knew somebody, family member, whatever, until they went through some experiences, until they had the hard knocks of life, until they had some real experiences. We didn't feel that they were totally validated. Well, my time is up, so I'm going to finish next Monday about how your wilderness brings your warfare, and warfare is always attracted to the wilderness. And we'll finish that next week, but I want to leave and make that drop on your spirit. When you've already been called to greatness, you've already been ordained for your purpose, you already are going to fulfill your destiny. That's your positional truth in God. He's already put the seeds of greatness in us. Everything we need is in the house. It's in us, it's in us, it's in us. But that experiential truth is a must. It is a mandate, and it validates what God has for us as he works through us. So remember today, we're being trained as kings and queens to reign in the kingdom. And as we receive our training in the wilderness, God's establishing our positional truth as we walk through our experiential truth. Back to you, Dr. PK.
Good God, good God. I tell you, Dr. Vanessa, oh, man, what a word, for real. I don't know how many of us on this line really see ourselves as queens. Queen Marie Preston, you know, she has experienced some royal treatment and that sort of thing, and was named queen. But when we think about being the king and queen, the reign in this kingdom, in the kingdom of God, and the training that it takes for that, that is just an awesome revelation. I just never thought of myself as queen nothing. Queen, I'm a queen being prepared. That's what I've been doing. Girl, that's a revelation. That's awesome. I better shut up, because girl, you got me turned over here looking in Samuel, and I'm saying, what in the world is she talking about? But yes, that is nothing but the truth for real, because he was the leader of leaders. That is something. I thank you for that this morning. You know, some of us don't know who we are. We just need to get ourselves in tune with what God has for us and who he has called us to be. Thank you again for the word. I thank you, Tiffany, for opening us up with the word. And Robin, I thank you as you come to close us out with the prayer requests that have been given to us on Friday, and those that have not given us a praise report, come and pray. This is an awesome, awesome, awesome time in history. Yes, it is.
Praise God. Can you hear me, Dr. PK?
Girl, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. We thank you because you are the one who has protected us. You are the one who's watched over us. You are the one who brought down our enemy. We thank you, Father, for the good report that we've heard, Lord God, about Osama bin Laden. Glory to your name, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for being our healer. We thank you, Lord, because of all the requests that have gone forward, Father, and you are a God that cannot lie. And you came with healing, Lord Jesus, yourself, so we rejoice in the goodness that we've heard, Father. We rejoice because we know that Pastor Elijah is healed of the Lord. And we know, Father God, that Robert is healed, Father. And we know, Lord God, that all of these individuals who ask for prayer, Father God, that their word, your word has gone forward. You said everything that has a name has to bow to you. So we know, Father God, that all of these requests have gone forward, and we know that your word will not return void unto you, Father, and we know that we have the desires of our heart. Father, you said in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, Lord, you said that if we ask, it would be given, and if we seek, that we would find, and if we knock, the Lord God, you said that the door would be open. You said for everyone that asked, they received, and if they sought you, they found you, Lord, and if we knock, thank you for opening up doors. And Father, so we thank you for your protection over the Parson family, Father, because they dwelled in the secret place of the Most High God, and tornadoes or storms did not touch them. We thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the provider of all of us, making sure all of our needs are met. Ruchi's financial need, and anyone else, Lord God, who brought finances forward, Father. You own all the cattle on a thousand hill, Father. You provided their need, and it's done. We thank you for filling Sister Vaughn and Denatra with your wisdom, Lord God. They will make right decisions. They will be able to do what you have called them to do, Father, because your favor is with them, Father, regarding their family members, Father. You are opening up doors for Denatra, Father, and she is walking through them. She will fulfill her purpose unto you in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have empowered your people on this call. You're teaching us, Lord, to be kings and queens. We thank you for your favor. We thank you, Lord, that you are guarding us. We are going out with a high hand, Lord God. And I thank you, Father God, that we don't take your word lightly. And as we always say, that we are not just a hearer of your word, Lord, that we are a doer of your word, Lord. And as we do your word, we will go out into the world, bring it to the marketplace, Father. Bring others into the kingdom of God. Let them see your countenance on us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to you in the highest. For you are our God. You are our King. And we love you. And we thank you for the victory as we walk forward this day in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, and thank you so very much for the closing prayer. Again, I thank each and every one of you for coming on the Master's Morning Call. I thank you so, so very much for the connectivity that we have here on this call. Just for clarity, I do think that I need to say that every morning the Lord gives us powerful, powerful messages. And for those of you who would like to go and hear this message, especially this message that you heard this morning, is to just go to www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com so that you can get this word again, and you need to get it again and again. Very, very powerful word. And I'd like to just give you a brief glimpse so that you will know that our lineup for this week is going to be awesome. It's going to be off the chain. Yes, we are going to have, he is my bishop, Walter Henderson, on tomorrow. My son, Chuck Brown, out of Louisiana, is going to be on Wednesday. On Thursday, we're going to have a new voice. It's National Prayer Day, and we're going to have a new voice on, not to the call, but for a message never heard from this young woman before. So we are going to ask you to get ready to hear from Sister Candy out of Chicago. The CNC is going to hit us. And on Friday, if after I have my dental appointment, I will preach on, I got preaching in my bones now and I'm ready to preach, but if I don't, know that it's going to be filled with somebody good and you're going to get a good word on Friday. So get ready. I mean, and don't just eat this word and just sit on it. Get out there and tell somebody as you are going out meeting people, get on the phone, computer or something, and let folk know that we have some great teachers, great preachers, and good word on this Master's Morning Call. Amen, and we are gone for today. Love you. God bless you. Have a super fantastic day, and we will hear you on the Master's Morning Call in the morning. Amen, and goodbye.